DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Intro. Would you like to try that again?
No.
Hello,
humans. And we're off to another auspicious beginning of Not Another Podcast.
Sam got your last one. I figured I would do this.
I'm just going to start hitting these from now on. Just whatever happens, happens.
Because you're James, I'm Dan, and that's Sam.
It's always beautiful. So we're going to talk. We're going to spend a bunch of the show, I'm sure, talking about Comic-Con.
Woo!
Because Danny and I went, and he was the belle of the ball.
I was. I won the Comic-Cons on Saturday.
You did.
I'm not going to lie. It felt good. Felt real good.
So tell everyone. Tell everyone what you went as.
So I went as Darth Vaderachi, a hodgepodge of Darth Vader and a mariachi. And unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to bring my guitar in.
Which is bullshit, because I did see someone with a bass guitar.
And I see all the people with the Saberforged sabers, and apparently metal and wood were supposed to be faux pas. So, yeah, kind of poo-poo on that. But oh well, it was still fun. You know, my outfit kind of spoke for itself for what it was. And what was fun about it for me is last year I had gone as a plague doctor from a comic book series I was reading, and I managed to get like 13 people to take pictures with me. You know, they'd come up and it's like, hey, let me get a picture with you. It's like, okay, yeah,
you
cool.
Went, no,
dude, I my mind was blown last year that I got that many. And so this year I told Josie walking in, I was like, all right, I'm going to keep tally this year. So I'm going to see if I'm going to beat myself from last year. And by the end of Saturday, I had gotten 130 people ask me to take a picture with them.
And I scoured today on every site I can find that was carrying pictures. No one posted your picture.
Nope. And if they did,
it was shameful.
There was no tag of Rose City Comic Con or anything. But
I'm still not done looking. But you know what? I got a picture.
Yeah, so I'm happy
I can
about
post
that.
It.
Yeah, and again, I've been telling like my coworker, I took a picture with her and her daughter, and I was like, dude, do me a favor and tag me, you know, up on Facebook and shit, because I want to add that to kind of a collection. I want to collect all of my photos. But yeah,
your pose was amazing.
It was awesome. Hamming it up something fierce, but it was beautiful. It was so much fun, and I love that stuff because mostly it's like the little kids and shit that'll walk up to you and they're kind of scared at first because they're not sure, you know, if you're a real person underneath there.
Yeah.
And then you kind of wave at them and it's like, oh yeah, they're okay. And it's like, you want a picture? It's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, it's just way too much fucking fun. So driving home that day, I told Josie, I was like, well, this is the closest you're ever going to get to living with a superstar. And it wasn't much of one.
Thank God for that. I got a new pet.
Mm-hmm.
Our very good friends at All Things Z and No Strings Puppet Works, I believe, is the name. I'll have to double check. Sorry, yeah. David. I can't remember. They gave me a little hand puppet, a little pink furry nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a nightmare until you made it one.
Okay, so they gave me this little pink furry hand puppet that I named Spuzzy. He's just adorable. But he was lacking something when I was playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Tracy, he needs teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy said, oh, that's easy. Get some makeup wedges and cut them down and glue them in. So that's what I did.
And now he has teeth.
Spuzzy, when his mouth is closed, he looks adorable. You just want to hug him. And then he opens his mouth and you still want to hug him, but
he's nightmare fear.
You just kind of want to hold his jaw as you're holding, you know.
You just want to kind of angle him away.
Yeah.
But the thing I've discovered as I've been developing his personality, is he is a hateful little shit.
Hmm.
He's just mean. He hates everyone.
Kind of like you.
He's so cute, unlike me.
Yes. Thank you for admitting that.
So, but he did lose a tooth this morning, so I got to replace one of his teeth. And then I'm really contemplating adding a second row just to add the...
Add to the ferocity?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
Monster dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's adorable, and so I want to thank those guys again for hooking me up. It was awesome. And it was awesome seeing their booth. They had a giant Audrey 2 puppet that Austin was having entirely too much fun with. Because people would come up and stare at it. Oh, that's really cool. And then he'd make it move and mm-hmm. open his mouth. And it would freak people out.
I love it.
It was I was there when this little girl was there, and she was just like, oh. And then he made the mouth move, and she went, ah! So he scarred someone. But he wasn't the only one, because I, like a booth away was the Star Wars Oregon people.
Yes.
And one of the guys was dressed as a Death Trooper from Rogue One. And he was standing perfectly still. Now, they had a bunch of the outfits all standing up. They were on mannequins. But this guy was standing like he was a mannequin, not right. moving. And I took a picture. And while I was taking his picture, I noticed his head moving. Because I was thinking, oh, this is a really cool costume that they put on a mannequin. That's a person. And I told him, and he was laughing. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to scare people. Like, I was like, well, you're going to get it. My wife and I walked around the corner. We were like not even 5-6 feet away, and we heard this lady give out this blood-curdling scream. He got her.
Nice.
So, awesome.
It was really awesome. Now, you went last year, as did I, Danny.
Yeah.
Do you think it was bigger this year? Like, there was more booths and stuff there?
Yes. I would say that it definitely felt like they had more, like you were saying, booths, because the years prior, like, over in the area where the Leaky Con was, the years prior, that was, like, the gaming area, you know, so they had, like, the ground control pinball machines, the fucking
Now, they moved that to a separate hall.
Yeah, that was in their own separate
rooms.
They
moved that there last year, because last year they had, like, some sort of kids play thing there.
But that was something else, though. But this year, all of the arcade games that they brought in were all in those rooms, as opposed to any of them being out on the ground, as well as they also had the console gaming, so like old Super Nintendos and shit like that hooked up into TVs. That all took over an entire room, as opposed to having a large space on the floor.
Yeah.
And it definitely felt like there was a hell of a lot more to see this year.
Now, I feel like they had more celebrity guests, too. They had at least three cancel last minute. But they replaced those and then added even more.
In the years that I've gone, the first year definitely being the lightest of the celebrity guests. I mean, still some heavy hitters. I believe the first year I was there was the year Stan Lee came.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not in quality so much, but definitely quantity of celebrities. The first year, I want to say we only had like... maybe 20 celebrities the first year I was there. And this year, it definitely felt like there was...
50.
Yeah. There was a
like
fucking
around 50,
ton.
Yeah. There was a lot this year. And a couple of them really... not big names.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone would know, but names that nerddom would freak out. Because Billy Piper from Doctor Who was there. And she was a last-minute addition.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I know, she had the... I would say second biggest group of people getting photographs. So my wife and I got in. We were in group two, and I know that they were calling group six when we were finally starting to move in to take a picture. They weren't even allowing poses with her. It was come in, get your photo, go. Come in, get your photo, go. I mean, it was pure cattle call.
Yeah.
Everyone else we took pictures with, we even had time to shake hands and you know, say hello.
Kind
and
of
thanks
meet and
for
greet
coming.
A little bit, yeah.
Weird Al was totally cool. I got a picture with Weird Al. I don't know if you saw, but I posted them on the...
Yes.
He was the first one, and there weren't a lot of people there. And we were actually kind of late getting in line. So we ended up being... we were the second-to-last people in that session.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to say hi and thank him for coming and shake his hands. And Didn't know he was as tall as he was. I thought he was going to be short.
He is fucking tall.
And he's going gray something fierce. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming through them curls.
Yeah. But totally cool guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when we took our photo for Weird Al, I got really excited because right in front of the camera was the Freddy glove.
Nice.
And I was like, yes, he's going to wear the glove in the photos. Because I wanted to come in with my own glove and have him wear it for the photo, but we looked and they said no, at least on the FAQ, but I'm thinking I probably could have got away with it given what I saw there.
More than likely.
But they had it, which was cool, so we got the pose that we really wanted.
Hell yeah.
And then we met Billie Piper, and she was very nice, and I had a near Me Too moment with Billie Piper, which I told you about, but I'll tell you, Samantha. So when we go in, Billie Piper is this gorgeous 40-something English actress, and we go to do our pose, and she puts her arm around my wife, and I put my arm around her, and I didn't realize how tall I was until I felt her jeans. I was like, my hand is very low, and I immediately shot up to her mid-back. She didn't even bat an eye or anything. I was like, I just wanted to go, I'm so sorry.
At least you were aware of it.
Yeah, well, I'm hyper aware of it.
That happens all the time.
I'm sure it does, but I didn't want to be one of those guys. Cause,
yeah.
She's one of the ones on my list. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife and I have the list.
The list, yes.
Yeah, and she's one of the ones. No way it was going to happen, but I didn't want to ruin any chance that I might have had.
Don't want to burn that bridge,
so you're
you
saying
know?
There's a chance.
Yeah.
You're going to be the gentleman. Remember, I was the gentleman.
I was the one who didn't grab your ass directly.
So, and then, unfortunately, we had to call it short because right after you left,
yeah,
wife got really sick. She was suffering dizziness and a headache most of the day.
Gotcha.
But it got really bad after that. She almost passed out on the walk to the car. Eesh. And then when she got home, she threw up really bad. So it got really bad. So we missed our chance to meet with Shannon Elizabeth. And we couldn't get a refund because all sales are final.
Right.
So we had to eat that, unfortunately. But that she was another one on my list. And I think Bree got sick on purpose because I think of the two.
Had a better shot there? Do you?
I might have had a better shot with Shannon Elizabeth.
How deluded are you today?
Very.
Good. See, and for me, it was kind of different because we didn't really do a whole lot of the celebrity things because, you know, Josie really, really wanted to meet Tim Curry, and she wanted to get something signed by him. But we found out that due to his circumstance, he wasn't able to actually sign autographs.
Yeah.
So it was photo ops only. And, you know, Josie was okay with the idea of seeing him behind a desk and, you know, just being able to talk to him.
Yeah, but then you can just pretend he's sitting down.
Yeah, and the idea of taking a photo with him, she wasn't feeling great, but she was feeling good enough to, you know, be upright and functional.
Yeah.
She wasn't sick, but, you know, she wasn't feeling great. And she was like, well, A, I don't want to meet him when I'm not feeling great, and B, I kind of don't want to remember him that way. And I was like, you know, that's fair, I get it. But I know you're going to kick yourself for not at least saying hi to him. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do that because, again, being as it was only photo ops only, we literally would have had to pay for the photo, get in the photo, and, you know, do that.
Now,
and
who did you say hi to?
I went and said hi to Pauly Shore.
Uh-huh.
And I love that guy.
How was the Weasel?
The Weez is good, bro. He was very cool. He was a little bit more composed, I think. I think, you know, the misconception is when the camera's rolling, you know, he's the Weasel.
Yeah.
When he's not, he's just a normal fucking guy.
Yeah, he's just Pauly.
And it was cool for me because, honestly, I kind of expected that. So when I went up there, I got a signed picture of Biodome because my buddy Drew and I, we grew up on that fucking movie. We lived for that movie.
Yeah.
And I told Pauly Shore, I was like, you have no idea, man. You were a lot of the inspiration for the person I allowed myself to be because of how you were in your movies. It's like, you made it okay to be yourself and be kind of weird, be out there, be outgoing and do your thing. It's okay. So that was very important for me growing up because that allowed me to just be me. And I told him that, and he was very appreciative of that. But yeah, he was very cool. Other than that, didn't really see a whole lot. We went and saw the voice of Beast Boy.
Greg Cripps?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was very cool. He pulled on the voice for Josie, which, you know, she turned into Japanese schoolgirl almost immediately. And it's always fucking adorable. Because she loves cartoons, and she loves her voice actors. And the two that we have met thus far was Jim Cummings and Greg. And it was, every time they pull on the voice, she immediately goes Japanese schoolgirl. You know, the knuckles go up in front of her face, her eyes squint down.
And that's why they do
laughing,
that, because they love that reaction.
God, you're so good. And again, it was beautiful. I loved it. And, yeah, he was very, very cool. And we just met him. We didn't get anything signed from him, but he was very, very cool. And again, it was one of those things for me where I didn't spend a whole lot of time over in the celebrity area. A, because day one that I was there on Friday, I was riding solo.
Yeah.
And Josie wasn't up for it, and she was still kind of feeling off. And so
I wish I'd known. You called me, yeah.
I thought about it, but I was like, well, didn't you say you might go Friday? I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll see him there. And I wasn't really planning on being there all that long, so I did my Vault Tech, which is the easiest of any costume I own. I bought a baseball batting helmet, and I painted the Diamond City logo that you would see on the Pit Boy on the front.
Yeah.
Put the All Things Z sticker on the backside of it. And I even had an MLB PDX sticker that I also had on there. Had my Pit Boy, had my foam bat with barbed wire around it, and that was it.
Yeah.
Easy as fuck. Love that outfit. But yeah, I got to go in, say hi to All Things Z, say hi to my buddy Edward, and, you know, kind of scope out where the celebrity booths were, you know, kind of get a lay of the land. So yeah, when we go on Saturday, I knew what the hell we were doing. So I think I only spent like maybe 2 hours there on Friday and didn't really do much. Pauly Shore wasn't out at the time because originally I was just going to go up by myself and just meet him and say what's up. But he hadn't come out yet, and so I was like, ah, screw it, I'll just be back tomorrow. And then Saturday hit, I did my Vaderachi, and holy fuck was that place packed compared to Friday.
Yeah.
It's like,
I think Saturday is the big day, because I saw pictures from Sunday, and it looked way less.
Oh, dude, Sunday was almost a mirror image of Friday. Like, there was room to walk down every aisle without running into people.
Yeah.
The celebrity area, there was, you know, small clumps of people, but not much. You
see,
could
I think
almost
the big
walk
thing
right
is
up.
The reason Saturday is so busy is because so many of the celebrities were there on Saturday.
Oh yeah, Saturday and Sunday. That's when you had all of the celebs showing up. Friday was an oddity because about half of them were there. But still, it was a matter of, yeah, Saturday was fucking night and day.
I was really upset. I didn't think about it at the time because my main concern was my wife,
well, yeah,
you know, her being sick. But we never got to go down because the artist row was packed. We could not even get in there to look at books or anything. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to get a print this year. I wanted to find something really cool and get an artist print.
Man,
something.
I'll bet you would have loved finding Bob Camp, the guy who used to pen Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, dude, there was a bunch of people that I knew that were there that I wanted to go by and say hi to and see if they had any prints or anything for sale.
Gotcha.
So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
But we could not get in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A longtime friend of mine who I've worked with on several projects, Aaron Duran, he had a booth. And I saw him, but I couldn't get close to him to say hi.
Gotcha.
Another guy who I've known through my radio work, David Walker, was there. Couldn't even find his booth because we couldn't get in the rows. I mean, it was packed to the gills.
Dude, seriously.
And it was, I can't even imagine how hot you were in your outfit because I was sweating balls.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It actually was really fascinating this year because last year when I did my Plague Doctor, I felt like I was fucking steaming to death.
It was cooler this year than it was last year.
It was so much nicer because, again, my outfit for Vaderachi has a hell of a lot more layers to it than my doctor did. And I was worried about that going into it. I was like, oh, fuck, dude, I'm going to die in this thing. But in all honesty, the only uncomfortableness that I really genuinely experienced was my helmet getting a little condensation-y. Because not only would it fog up and, you know, become kind of moist up in there, but it would also fog up my already limited vision.
Yeah.
And that's why Josie was really helpful. And she even referred to herself as my handler, because she literally was guiding me through the aisles and around people. And she was kind enough to where, since I couldn't see very well because I had a mesh face on underneath this plastic mask with basically sunglasses on, I couldn't see very well at all. My vision was horribly limited. And so she would randomly blurt out to me 3 o'clock. And so I would turn to the 3 o'clock and start waving because that meant somebody was waving at me at 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And it's like, oh yeah, hi.
6:15.
Shit.
Damn it.
I don't do fractions. God damn it.
6:42.
But yeah, no, it was one of those things where she was very helpful in that because I didn't want to, you know, ignore people who were being like, hey, you know, that's awesome. It's like, fuck yeah, you know, thanks, you know. I wanted to be there for those folks getting into it. And again, 130 photos, we did the math on it. We were there for about 4 hours. It evened out to like 4 pictures every 8 minutes or something like that.
Nice.
Or something stupid like that. And it was like, holy shit.
So I have decided next year I'm going to try and go 2 days.
Dude, you should.
And I am going to come up with costumes for both days. My trip to Disneyland this year is going to provide me most everything I need to pull off a Jedi costume.
Oh, yeah.
I've already got a ton of sabers.
Get your stormtrooper gear, bro.
Well, if I'm going to do as a stormtrooper Achi, I just need the helmet.
Yes. However, as you saw with my Vader Achi, having pieces of Darth Vader's gear actually really helps the outfit. So having pieces of a stormtrooper armor.
But yeah. To get that stuff is really expensive. And I'm poor.
Yeah, me too. It's one of the reasons I went for Vader.
The main thing that I'm going to try and put together, and it should be relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Just really time consuming. I'm going to build a rod puppet that is going to, I'm going to figure out how, like, build a harness so, like, the spine can ride up a pole, you know, from, like, my midsection, which is going to hold all the weight. And then I will be able to control the hands with 2 rods. It's going to be death.
Nice.
And I'm going to get, like, flowing, tattered robes. The only thing that I can't figure out how to do yet is I want to put some red LEDs in the eyes.
Oh, that's not that hard.
So,
for fuck's sake, dude, you buy the LEDs, run some wire to a fucking battery jack, and
yeah,
they'll just be on.
I would like to be able to have the fingers move, but I can't figure out how, because if I'm holding the poles, I can't figure out how I would get the fingers to move. So I may just do posed fingers, like one with an offering or grabbing hand and one pointing.
Right.
So,
And that's one of the things I love about Comic-Con. It fires off the creativity aspect, and it's like, ooh, yay, what am I going to do for next year, you know? And, again, thinking to myself after getting out of Saturday, it was like, I'm never going to fucking top this. It was like, shit.
Well, we still have the option, too, and something else I thought of, and we talked about it last year, and we didn't do it. We need to
Professor
go
Professor Chaos and General Disarray.
Yeah.
Fuck yes, dude.
It would be simple. We can make it as goofy and cheap as we want.
Yes.
And just have so much fun with that.
It would be so fucking fun, stupid.
And we've got a year until the next one to put it together.
Oh, yeah. And
I've already got a line on everything I need to do, and the helmet is basically made.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where all I have to do is look at the image, and I can probably make it happen.
Yeah. We just need to get you a big red afro wig.
Mm-hmm. That was something that I was talking to Jessica. I was like, that's probably going to be the only aspect of this costume that I'm really going to need to try to hunt down. But it's not going to be that hard.
Now, we can go one of two ways. We can do like just like what the kids wear, or we can go super big, like how they think they look.
I would almost go that route because
I would
A,
too,
we're
just
adults.
Because it would be really funny.
Well, fuck yeah.
So thinking about it, I would need to build a, and it would be simple, not simple, it would be fairly cheap to do. I would just need some EVA foam to cut and form.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't need to paint it or sand it. I just cover it in foil, but I make big, broad shoulder pauldrons.
Yep.
So the cape can flow over it with the chain hanging on. And I would have to remake the helmet because I'd want to add, like, some spikes or something to it.
Well, and again, you got the episode of South Park where they did the ninjas.
Yeah.
You know? So you have the template for what Butters thinks he looks like when he dorns this outfit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it
do something like that. And then from that, you can kind of go off what General mm-hmm. Disarray might think he looks like. And then we go as, like, the super anime version.
Can I be Mysterion?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
But that means you have to come here for Comic-Con uh-huh. next year.
That's the time frame we're looking at. So
yay! Yay! Mid-September or early September.
Well. Yeah.
It's usually within the first 2 weeks of September, give or take.
And if you apply for press passes and are confirmed, it's free.
Uh-huh.
If it's the first 2 weeks, that might not be possible. It might have to be later in the month. Shoot.
Well, and again, this falls under...
You've got a whole year to work it out.
Yeah, and at this rate, we don't know when the official date is, but like this year it was the...
This year was a little earlier.
13, 14, 15, no. Last year it fell on Bryce's birthday on the 11th.
Oh, so it was a little bit later. Yeah, it usually falls, though, like second week of September.
Yeah, there and about.
Well, Radio Hour is the second Saturday of every month, and I'm already going to miss August, which will be the first show I've ever missed. So
we'll have them move it up to the first.
Serious, bro. I mean, fuck.
Hey.
Go on, Sam.
They should move it up to the first, because then you can come to Portland and promote It's All Been Done.
uh-huh.
And you can press pass it so you can do interviews and stuff.
And you can be Mysterion. Just saying.
I already told Jim, like the owner... about your press pass idea and stuff. So he's like, interesting. And I'm like, no, like, for real, dude.
Get on it.
Yeah, it makes it totally worth it to be able to go in for free, do interviews, take pictures, all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 2 years in a row. And this year was a cluster F because of my wife and everything. But
right.
Danny and I had planned to do some interviews that we were going to post on the website and stuff. But... it just kind of fell apart because
between
our
your
wives
photos
got sick.
And my fucking inability to do anything, really. And that was one of the reasons I was really looking forward to going back
on
Sunday.
We do need to plan a day that we can go without costume
of course.
We can go and do the interviews.
Honestly, if I was to toss it out there at this point, I would say we need to shoot for the Friday.
Yeah.
We need to shoot for the Friday because it's the lighter of the days. It's easier to get in. In general, it would just be smoother. Saturday is the big high to do.
Everybody and that's a costume day. Yeah,
And everybody who buys a single day pass will always buy Saturday. They tend not to go for Sunday. And again, if we want to continue doing that kind of stuff on Sunday, we can do that.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, it's like...
Well, it's now recorded. It's on record.
Yeah.
Let's tentatively plan that next year... We will represent Not Another Podcast on Friday. We'll try and get some interviews with celebrities, artists, whatever we can manage. Probably not celebrities because they won't let us do any recording or anything. There
were
tons of signs like no photos, no recording, this bullshit.
But we're pressing.
We are. So, but there's no reason we can't talk to artists and makers of.
And again, I wouldn't mind giving my buddy Edward a little shout out, you know, just in general. I mean, his books are pretty damn solid.
No, if he's an artist or a writer, then yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, and he's
a
solid
guy. In fact, we don't have to wait for Comic-Con. We can have him on and talk about his books. So why didn't you think of that before, Danny?
Because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And you knew that.
And there's the title for the episode.
Fuck you.
No, I'm sorry. That won't be on there.
Damn it. But yeah, it's one of those
things.
It was
a good – this year was really good, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get to meet as many of the celebrities as I wanted, and a lot of it had to do with just timing-wise and other things. I wanted to go say hi to Anthony Michael Hall and Ilan Michael Smith,
right.
Both from Weird Science, and Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
And they were – it was at a time when they were all – there was like no one there, so I could have walked up and said hi and stuff. But they called our number for one of our pictures, so we couldn't go. And then when we were done, they were gone. Same thing with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
He was perfect timing to go say hi to him, but then he had to go do a photo thing, so I couldn't go see him.
Yeah.
But when we were standing in line, he walked by, and I said hi.
Well,
so,
that's
and he
something.
Was nice enough to wave.
That's something.
I did get a chance to meet and talk with Leslie Baker from The Office.
Oh, there you go.
Stanley. Totally cool guy.
Right, just totally chill. That's kind of what I got from him.
And I was so happy that he took the time. And I didn't bother him too much. I just went up, shook his hand, and just wanted to say hi, tell you I love the show, and I love Stanley. He was my favorite character. He was
Hell
like,
yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Just like, have a great day.
That's it.
And yeah.
Sometimes that's all it needs to be, yeah. too.
And that's all I wanted to do. Like, ever since I got to meet Michael Biehn last year,
yeah.
that's all I wanted to do. I just want to go up, shake a hand. Mm-hmm. I'll pay for a picture. I'm not going to bother fucking paying for a signature.
Fair
especially
enough.
When a picture is just a little bit more.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I can, because anyone can forge an autograph and say, oh, yeah, I met this one.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I always get my autographs personalized, so they're to me.
Even so, you can forge that.
But at the same time, I don't give a fuck about selling them or even convincing anybody else that it's real. It's for me.
Well, and that's the thing with picture. I can't sell the picture because who's going to buy a picture of me?
No one.
With a exactly.
it's just self-gratifying for yourself.
The only thing I don't like about both the autograph line and the pictures is I can't spend time talking with
just shooting the shit.
Yeah. And I got to do that with Michael Biehn, and he was totally cool. And it was like he flipped it on me and was more interested about what I did.
Right. Then,
and I was like, no, forget me. Let's talk about you're a fucking movie star.
All the amazing shit you've done.
You know, and that's the thing. I didn't want to bother Leslie.
That's fair.
But if a conversation starts,
hey,
then I'll stick around and stuff. I'm not just going to bolt. But I mean, you know,
I'll run with it.
I think Leslie was enjoying his time. He was just sitting back. I didn't get a chance to talk to Oscar Nunez, who played Oscar right. on The Office, because he wasn't there when I went to see Leslie. As we were walking up, they were both there. I turned to see something that my wife had thought it was amazing, and turned around and Oscar was gone.
The only
he
other
saw
person
you coming I and was like, oh shit,
right?
Yeah.
The only other person I wanted to meet and wanted to talk to, and we just timing just didn't work out, was Bill Farmer. The voice of Goofy.
See, we had a chance to go see him. We had several chances because when we were hanging out for pictures, there was no one there. And he was just hanging out. People would come up and say hi and leave. And I kept telling Bria, like, let's go talk to Bill Farmer. And she was like, but they're going to – it's right there. We're going to hear. But I think because she was just not feeling good, she just wasn't having anything.
Just trying to focus on one task.
She didn't even say hi to Leslie, and she loves The Office.
Yeah.
So, but she was all smiles. But the one I wanted to talk to and just did not see at all, and I knew he was there because there was a huge line at one point, Will Wheaton. I really wanted to talk to Will Wheaton.
Apparently, Will Wheaton and Dante are best friends now.
And
that's it. No, it was funny. When I went back on Sunday, they did one of their con interviews with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I asked them, you know, have they been enjoying the con? And Dante's like, yeah, no, we walked past Will Wheaton Station. And he goes, hey, Will! And Will Wheaton waved back at him. And
yeah,
now they're
best
friends.
Heard his name. He had no idea.
And so I was like, so that's what Quantify is best friends for you, huh? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. I was like, good enough for me.
Yeah, I had to. I was really kind of upset to, again with Brie getting sick. We couldn't go by and tell those guys.
Well,
know,
and they apparently got fucking run for the gambit going around.
Yeah, I imagine so.
And it was a fucking nightmare for them.
They were
too.
Super busy this year too,
which is great.
Yeah, because it's more people going to their sites. It's mm-hmm. more people, and the fact that they were selling puppets was awesome.
Dude, when I got there on Sunday, there was only like 5 left on the top tier. So it was like some of the heavier hitters that they've been selling the weekend were still there, but all the other ones that were there on Saturday were gone.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck real, dude. Badass. Yeah.
Tracy, when we interviewed the guys on my radio show, Tracy was telling me about one particular puppet that they had made that I really wanted to see and was really contemplating buying. And they kind of made it like they were going to hold it. So I...
Right.
They sold it before I got there. Oh. I know they sold it before I got there because I saw him as I was walking to him. This guy was it was a puppet that looked exactly like Elmo, except he had one small eye and one big eye, and he looked like he'd been through the ringer. And they were calling him Smelmo.
Smelmo.
And I really wanted Smelmo because I wanted you to do the voice.
Yeah.
But just have him say the most
horrendous
obnoxious,
shit that we were
horrendous
doing,
shit, because he's on drugs.
Yeah. So,
You ever smoke rock in the back of a car? It's a fucking trip!
Did you ever see the movie The Happy Time Murders?
Yes.
Yes.
So the first thing I got Spuzzy to say was, I'll give you a felty.
A felty.
I can give you a continental hot sock. I will need a gallon of kombucha and some oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife just started walking away, and I couldn't figure out why. And I don't think any of the guys from All Things Z had seen that movie, because they were just like, what is that? And I had to explain it to them.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, it was cuter coming from him when he had no teeth.
Uh-huh.
Now when he says it, it's like, no, I don't want a felty.
But no, all in all, though, that I fucking love Comic-Con, because Comic-Con is basically like, you know, when you go to a show of any kind, like, you know, a rock show or something like that, you always know that you're surrounded by people of a like interest. The one thing about Comic-Con is it is such a large mass of dorks. And I've never felt more at home.
Oh, dude, there's
than
so
being
much
surrounded
love.
By so many great, creative, happy fucking sci-fi loving
everyone
fantasy
comes out,
dorks,
and
it's like, yes, you guys rule.
Yeah, everyone comes out, they're donning their best costumes, and sometimes they're shit.
Sometimes, but you know what? They try.
And I will say that this year the caliber of costume making,
dude, there were some heavy
was
hitters.
Really up there.
Yeah.
Just from what I saw. I mean, I saw some amazing stuff. A lot of stuff I didn't recognize because I'm not really into the anime and stuff like that, but there was before you guys left, you and I were sitting behind this guy that had like a full EVA foam armor suit, but man, it looked like it was made of bone and rock. And
it looked like it was hard to move in.
Yeah, hence why he just stood there the whole time. So I'll let him, Mandalorians, not very many Jedi. A lot of Spider-Man this year.
Oh, dude.
A lot of Spider-Man.
Did you get to see all the Stan Lees?
No, I saw a picture of him, though.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently there was just a large mass of people dressing up like Stan Lee in all of his cameo outfits throughout the movies. And it was like, that is fucking brilliant.
A lot of Disney princesses.
Yep.
One of them, she's probably late teens, I would guess. Her bell, the gold bell dress.
Oh, yeah.
She was fantastic. And she had the hair. She looked like the cartoon.
And there
and
was a Cinderella that was similar.
Yeah, I saw her too. We walked by her, and she was apparently, she had something in her dress to make it bounce, because she was walking to make it
dress.
Flop, 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 and she was just giggling her ass off. And then we saw Ariel, and it looked like Ariel had gotten into some flesh-eating bacteria, because her jaw was like, it was not good.
Again, I love the creativity
a
of cosplay.
A lot of Pennywise, too, this year.
Yes, and actually I found a really good version of the Tim Curry Pennywise, and actually took a couple of pictures with him. Because, don't get me wrong, I love the Skarsgård Pennywise, but I grew up with the Tim Curry one, so when I saw somebody who had done it justice, I was like, fuck yes, dude. And I saw a guy who was rocking this really good fucking Shredder outfit, and I was like, dude.
Yeah, saw that too.
So badass. So, yeah, Sunday was my day to get pictures with other people.
Yeah.
Because I just went in my Deadpool sweater and my kilt, and it was funny. As I was walking through, this girl came running up to me. She was like, Deadpool in a kilt? And I didn't have a chance to really focus, but she was wearing a Deadpool onesie with a lady kilt. I was like, fuck yeah. So we both put our fucking masks up, started taking a couple of pictures together. It's like, yes, these are my people. And it only took a couple of seconds to let her know. It's like, I know this is Comic-Con, and I know this is totally acceptable here, but this is actually how I look when I'm out of here.
This is just normal Danny wear.
Yeah, this is my gear when I'm not in work clothes.
So I would say of the two cons I've been to the two Rose City cons I've been to, this one was far superior than last year's in so many ways. I would say the caliber of guests was better last year, but the quantity was better this year.
I don't know, man. Robert Englund,
Robert
Jim
Englund
Curry,
was, yeah.
Lou Ferrigno. I mean, there
Carrie
was a
Ellis,
lot of
Chris
Durant. Oh, dude, yeah. And Cary Elwes, I wanted to see Cary Elwes so bad.
Dude,
but
they had him. His booth was closed off. Like, you couldn't even walk by and see
him. Yeah. And it sucked because I wanted to meet him so bad. But again, I didn't even get a chance to go say hi to Bill Farmer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I felt like I got so short-cased on meeting the celebs I wanted to meet this year, but at the same time, I was having so much fucking
fun. Yeah, it was really hard to get close to everyone, but hey, there's always next year.
Fuck yeah, there is, and I will be there next year, only this
but
time.
Dude, yeah, my
press pass.
Meeting Robert Englund and getting that photo with him, that is fucking dream come true for me. I can fucking die as far as I'm concerned.
Well, don't, because
yeah,
otherwise this
jealous.
Podcast ends.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
And see what you're missing when you're not here,
I'm
Sam?
I'm so excited for you.
And see, here's the funny thing, Sam, was I was getting really nervous because I knew the pose I wanted, which is the one we got.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the first thing I was afraid of is, like, he wouldn't have the glove and it would kind of suck. It'd just be, you know, standard fucking photo.
Yeah.
And especially when I found out I couldn't bring my glove, it was like, oh, this is going to suck and everything. And but then when we, again, when we saw the Weird Al, we saw the glove there on the floor. I was like, oh, yes, it's going to happen. So I'm so antsy. And we were in group one with him, too. So we got, like, in
right
there really fast. And as we were approaching, and we came around the corner, there was like five or six people ahead of us. We saw he was posing people.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's always embraced that character.
And I think he's embraced the fans too. And
oh,
he's
yeah.
Like,
oh,
he's
sure.
Super aware of, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he was having so much fun. Like the first group we saw, there was like three guys and he lined them all up front to back. And then he grabbed the last guy and he said, okay, everyone lean back. And so he leaned back and it looked like he was pulling all of them into him.
Nice.
And it was so cool. And then the next people that came up, he grabbed the girl around the throat. And then with the glove, because the guy had kind of a big beard, he looked like he was tickling the beard.
Hell yeah.
And everyone was just like so taken aback. Like they're like, he's tickling my beard.
That's fucking awesome.
And he posed everyone. Like when they came in, it's like, okay, you could. So he personalized the experience for everyone.
That's awesome.
And that to me spoke volumes about the kind of guy he is.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And this is a guy that totally appreciates his fans. And Weird Al, same thing. As everyone came in, he made sure to shake hands.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was something I got from him when Josie and I met him last year or year before last. It was one of them.
Yeah.
We went up to his booth, and I was rocking my Dipper Pines outfit, and I had my, you know, third journal book, and I had it bookmarked onto the page. Bookmarked. To the book.
This
to the
is
page.
Sticky. I can't sign this.
of the page. where his character that he voiced in the show, Probilator the Wizard, you know?
Yeah.
I had a spot located for that so I could just open it up and have him sign that page. And he was really cool with us. I got to shake his hand. I tell him, you know, you're awesome. I've grew up listening to you and I still love fucking watching your shows and everything. And I showed him the book. He's like, holy crap, I haven't seen this before. I was like, nuh-uh. There's no way you haven't seen this. And he goes, yeah. And so he started flipping through it. It's like, this is really cool.
It's
like,
yours.
Shit.
No, I need that.
Will you sign that page for me?
It's really funny how, and I've met enough celebrities to not get starstruck.
Right.
But I did with Robert Englund. It's the first time in my life I've been starstruck.
That's fair.
And walking up to him, like, I felt like your wife meeting Greg Cripps. I just went,
Which, again, I always find that so fucking adorable.
And it got all the worse, though, when we came around and we saw how he was interacting with people and posing them and stuff. I'm like, this guy fucking gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked out of there waiting to get our picture, and I just kept bouncing up and down. My wife was just like, are you happy? I was like, happy does not even describe what just happened.
Hell yeah.
I fucking met Freddy Krueger. I met Willy from V.
Mm-hmm.
I met the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who made horror what it is today. Without Robert Englund, horror movies they're nothing.
Pretty much garbage, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and we've talked about, you know, the most iconic horror killer.
Right.
But we've never talked about the actors, and I would always say, no matter what, without Robert Englund, horror as a genre, it does not become what it is today.
Right.
Because without that guy playing that character for that many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing. So
that much humor and conviction as well. That's the key.
And it's a guy who totally embraces the character, and that it could be argued that that character potentially ruined his acting career because
after that,
I mean, he got shit.
Yeah, he got fuck nothing after
Fast. Yeah,
but he's the same guy who went, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna fucking embrace this. And
hey, and he made a mint on it.
And too many actors like. They get into this thing, it's like, no, I don't want to be typecast, I'm going to stop playing, and then the franchise falls apart.
See, and that's something I always worry about when I go to meet stars, particularly, like, you know, case in point, one of my worst fears actually came to fruition with Linda Blair.
Yeah, I remember that last year.
And again, that was one of those moments where it was like, I understand the idea of being typecasted when you want to be considered a serious actor and it kind of basically cuts your acting career out from the knees.
Yeah.
I understand that and I get that. And I also understand how that can be very, very frustrating for serious actors. But I also understand, like, there are actors out there like Robert Englund who not only understand that, but appreciate it for what it was, for what it is, and for the fans that he has, he doesn't hold it against them personally. You know, he embraces the fact that they loved him so much that that made his career.
Oh, yeah.
As were people like Linda Blair, who is very resentful of The Exorcist.
She hates.
Very resentful of the one movie, and let's be fair, she's been in other shit, and nobody fucking cares. I'm sorry, but they don't. The Exorcist was her alpha, her number one.
Her peak, and it's a shame that it happened when she was so young.
Yeah, and it sucks that that movie in and of itself had fucked her up mentally and to some degree physically to where, you know, a bad chain of choices came afterward. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, the people who love that movie love you because you were in that movie and you made that movie fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not hold it against your fans for poor life choices that came after it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean to be a dick about it, but at the same time, that really pissed me off.
Look at it this way. Han Solo, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Hates Han Solo.
Which is sad.
And if it wasn't for Han Solo, he would not have become the megastar he was.
Yeah. Between Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
He would not have gotten Indiana Jones, and Indiana Jones and Star Wars led to him doing so many movies.
Oh, yeah.
If George Lucas hadn't taken the chance on him twice, he would have just been a carpenter.
In fairness, we would have had Kurt Russell as Han Solo, and I think I'd have been all right with that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, To be fair, yes, he hates Han Solo, but at the same time, he still came back to finish up his arc. So, I mean, that's
fair.
Big of him for someone who really does hate that character.
And that's fair, but again, at the same time, don't resent the thing that made you, dude.
Well, and also,
no, I agree. You should be appreciative, but he came back and he did it. So,
well, and also, he hadn't done anything for a while. Like, no one was coming to Harrison Ford going, "Hey, you want to do?
I got a role for a craggy old fuck. You want it? You know, no."
So I mean, and let's be honest too. That's probably his last movie ever. Like, he's not.
I wouldn't doubt it, but at the same time, does he really need to act anymore at this point?
No. Why should
dude,
he?
Fuck real.
Let him be fucking cranky old Han Solo, Indiana Jones.
Let me be in one fucking Star Wars movie that, you know, or one set of trilogy that just catapults my career and never have to worry about it, and I could rest on my fucking laurels on a movie I hate.
Well, if Samantha ever gets off her ass and writes the Menstrata trilogy,
real Sam.
Hey, we are all working on that together, you dick.
Hell, I'm not going to throw myself under the bus. What am I, stupid?
Yes.
Shut up.
This is bullshit.
You know, you want the trilogy so bad, you fucking write it.
Okay. It's not going to be very good.
I started work on Three Immortal Idiots, all right?
That's fair. And I can't wait to be a part of that.
So the end of, like, so I have this image in my head of how that at least the first arc would end. And it would be, you know, you live so long, you see the Earth decimated by the sun. And the three of us are just like, oh, thank God. Like, we finally get to die. And then everything, we're just floating in space, and we're like, shit. And then
just assed out naked going,
and then the next page would just be Danny going,
I can't stop.
Still intact.
No shit, right?
How can I talk in space?
Propulsion.
I mean, that was the joke, but I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. I need you to put that in there. Because if that was my circumstance, that would be the only thing keeping me smiling at that point. And I would need that. So it's like, I just think of all the Taco Bell aid in my life. It's like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. We can do this.
Just a few billion more of these and I'll reach the moon.
Hey, eventually, you know, you get going, you're going to keep going, you know, so I just got to get one good one, and it'll just be like, bye, fuckers, you know.
No, we'd have to tie off with, like, the clothes that inexplicably remain, so.
I'm okay with that.
We'd have to stay together at that point. That's my idea.
At least my sunburn doesn't hurt out here.
Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it.
But the, going back to the conversation with the actors, I'm reminded of an interview with Jamie Lee Curtis with the 2018 Halloween, and she had said, look, I know when I die I'm gonna be the girl from Halloween.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I love that. That's my favorite thing. Without that movie, without the fans of this franchise, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Hell yeah.
And, yeah, but
you know, like, if I was ever famous, I'd want to be that kind of person. I'd want to be like Jamie Lee Curtis, like Keanu Reeves, because he gives most of his money away to charity and lives modestly. And I would also like to be like Robert Englund and really embrace and care for the people that put you where you are.
Right. Yeah, but for a long time, Jamie Lee really resented Halloween.
Well, and that's
but fair. She's come around on it. Like, in the last, I would say, probably 15 years, she's flipped around on it.
Well, one of the things that...
And really embraced it.
And I love that when actors do that. But one of the more recent things that kind of got under my skin a little bit was Ian McKellen. Apparently, he had a real big issue while shooting The Hobbit. Because, you know, he was sitting in a green screen room, essentially, by himself. Because all the other actors couldn't be in the same frame with him. And one of his comments was, he goes, this wasn't what I got into acting for. And he was kind of resentful of that. And it was like, but you got to understand, Ian. Now, the problem I have with this, and this was my big argument, was I have in my possession a DVD copy of Macbeth. Now, it's with Dame Judi Dench and Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen plays Macbeth. And that whole movie is done in true Shakespearean form, where it's a black backdrop. Their clothes are very modestly black for the most part. This is a very flat rendition of Macbeth. It's true to, it's unabridged. It is every word for word. It is, of course, shot on camera, but there is no set. There are very few props, and it's just the actors doing the parts. So, in
the
respects...
But I can see why he would appreciate doing that more, because with Shakespeare, it's not about the props or the sets. It's about the emotion of the character.
Right, but at the same time, and that's, coming I mean, that, into a to movie be able like to this...
Yeah, but to be able to convey that sort of... And maybe if someone sat him down and said, look, you are essentially doing Macbeth solo here.
Yeah.
He might have understood it and resented it less.
And that's what I'm saying,
though.
But he's
also a guy, I think, that plays well off of other actors.
Yes, exactly. True. That's what it was the isolation that was getting to him. Yeah. Because everyone else is spending months together. He's spending months of shooting by himself, reacting to nothing. Well, and he's someone who came up on stage and,
it's harder to react.
And he needs that play. You know, some actors don't, but he needs that play. Yeah. And he was
And
like,
I think a lot of actors are similar. They have... Like Samantha said, they need that reaction. It's harder to act when you have to imagine the reaction as opposed to when you're getting that reaction.
And I get that, but at the same time, that scene was only one scene. The rest of the movie was done majority on sets and things like that. That was his
Not
big
for
gripe.
Him.
No, yeah,
for him, most of his stuff, I mean, aside from the CGI background, which 90% of that movie is, but that's for all the actors. He usually had somebody with him at the time, and they just did the same trick they did in The Lord of the Rings, where, you know, they would set him back and shit like that.
Yeah, but that's also essentially acting by yourself, because of the way it is, you don't have that closeness.
And I get that.
And I think when you're doing that forced perspective,
right.
Your tendency is going to be to yell and project.
But at the same time, though, Ian McKellen is a classically trained actor who is more than, on one occasion, done individual, singleized monologues on stage. Now, granted, I understand stage is way different than film because you actually have an audience that is, you know, being attentive. But at the same time, he's not unfamiliar with individual monologues. He's not unfamiliar with individual acting. But I think he just resented it for the fact that it was a CGI background and nothing else.
No, it wasn't that. You said it in your what you just said. You nailed it on the head. Monologue is just talking to an audience or talking to a camera. Whereas when you're acting with a cast, you're interacting with the cast. You don't have an audience for reaction. You don't have the cameraman and the director. You're not acting to them. You're acting to the other actor. And if you don't have that other actor there, it's really hard, especially for a classically trained actor.
I think
it's only so long, you know, like imagine doing a monologue for months at a time.
That's fair.
By yourself. That's what he's feeling.
But additionally, I would have accepted his statement a little bit more if he said, I not got into acting to stretch a very small book into three long fucking movies that were unnecessary.
I think everyone would have
been much happier about it because
everyone would have agreed with that. And let's face it, he doesn't resent the role. He doesn't resent the character.
No, I think he enjoyed being
that,
Gandalf.
And I think if he were to come to a Comic-Con, he would be very welcoming of fans and stuff. Because, again, he's a guy who gets it. But there are far too many actors and actresses out there that are like, nope.
Kind of up their own ass about it.
Yeah. You know.
I think one of the things about it, too, is I think a lot of the actors that we get to see at Comic-Con, most of them, you know, not necessarily all of them, but I think a lot of the older actors that we've all grown up with, I think they're the ones who have kind of come to that realization of appreciation.
Yeah.
I think...
Well, a lot of them, too, aren't getting the work anymore.
Well, that, too. And honestly, I mean, this is their supplemental income at this point, you know.
Looking at the people who were at Comic-Con this year,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them haven't worked in a while. Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell was there.
Yeah.
And she looked good.
Oh, yeah.
But she has not done shit since Showgirls that I've seen.
Yeah,
she did a cameo in fucking CSI. That was the last thing I saw her in.
Yeah, and honestly, same with Pauly Shore, dude. I mean, the last thing I remember as a movie was Pauly Shore is Dead.
And that wasn't really a movie. Anthony Michael Hall hasn't done anything for a while. I can't think of the last thing that Wallace Shawn or Chris Sarandon.
Anthony Michael Hall, didn't he do the Dead Zone show? Like,
yeah, but that was over a decade ago.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know?
That's fair.
Will Wheaton has been working steadily.
Yeah.
He just finished up Big Bang Theory this last year. So, let's see who else was, I'm trying to go through the list. There's a lot of people who just haven't been working.
Do you really count
lately.
Big Bang Theory though?
No,
I do. I love that show. Fuck y'all.
Gonna hate that show.
It was fantastic.
I mean, he just plays
and Will
himself,
Wheaton was great.
And he's a
that.
Novelty on there to make people keep watching.
Shut up, Wesley.
You know, honestly, I will tell you this. If they had taken him off, that show still would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
It was an amazingly written show. So
debatable.
Up until the second season.
It never failed to make me laugh.
Again, for me growing up in a nice large group of genuine nerds, that show was really blowhardy for me. Because it's like, I all through middle school and high school, I had this group of D&D, Star Trek, Star Wars nerds that I was always surrounded by. Josie and I, we were friends with every one of them. Didn't always participate in all of the games and stuff like that they got into, but we were always around them. So we always heard their stupid debates, their stupid conversations, you know. And the first season of Big Bang Theory, it was like, wow, you really make them look stupid. It's like, this is not real nerd talk, guys.
You should have hung on because...
And then the convoluted, over-elaborated math, and it was like, wow, this is just dumb. And I'm like, sorry, guys. Real nerds don't sound like that.
Probably because most real, regular nerds are not fucking geniuses.
That's debatable, too.
That's the thing. As Sheldon, the main character, was a super genius. Like, super, super smart. Which made him all the more funnier because of his intelligence and his maturity.
But he would argue semantics about a fantasy show.
Exactly.
That's unnecessary by all accounts. If you're wondering how he eats and breathes and other science facts, just repeat to yourself, it's just a show. You should really just relax.
But that's the...
Thank you, MST3K, for that line. I'll never stop using it.
But that was the thing about the show and the character, is he was so immersed in logic that he couldn't enjoy something unless he could figure it out.
Which is silly.
But he enjoyed it.
That's why the show was funny. Idiot.
He got up every morning and watched Doctor Who, and he never disputed Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was enough real science in it that he could follow along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware.
Right.
I watched Doctor
Who. I'm with you, Sam.
Okay, no, wait.
Fuck this show.
The character was a theoretical physicist. There is enough in Doctor Who for a theoretical physicist to follow along and enjoy. Uh-huh. Just the time travel aspect alone, and the big thing about the Sheldon character was he wanted to figure out time travel.
You know, the funny thing about theory is everything works in theory.
Not when you're adding math to it, which is what he did.
In theory.
The door is that way. Fucktard.
Jerk.
So we have come to the end of an hour.
That's not PC, bro. But you said it.
Coming to an end of an hour? Is not PC?
Yeah.
So we've sort of hogged the whole hour. Samantha,
really,
you got anything
did.
To plug or anything coming up that people need to pay attention to, which they should be doing?
Yes.
It's All Been Done Radio Hour comes out every Sunday, so check that out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, all the places, YouTube, you know, all the places things happen. We are restructuring our Patreon, so go to patreon.com/IABD. Starting October 1st, we're getting some new stuff going, and we're really excited because we've got brand new content that's going to be Patreon exclusive. The first thing we're doing is a hot sauce challenge for the cast members.
Nice.
So we're going to have 4 hot sauces ranging from mild all the way to very hot, and then we're going to have 1 super hot number 5. So you're going to choose out of a bag of hell, the bag of hellfire, and you're going to choose your sauce, and then you have to eat a wing, and then you read a Radio Hour monologue and try to get through it.
Oh.
Or
you must hate yourself.
All 4 of those.
Here's hoping or Samantha gets the worst one.
Yeah, shit.
Or you can bypass all 4 of those and go straight for the number 5, which is not in the bag. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've already got a bunch of people signed up. We're filming it coming up soon. The first episode will go out to Patreons in October. So on October 1st, see our new tiers. We're very excited about them. We worked really hard on them. Lots of discussion and debate went into them.
Nice. So,
a lot of research went into it. So please go to patreon.com/IABD and support us because... we love you. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, Danny will come to your house.
Yeah, and you really don't want
me
there.
As Vader Achi, which I loved, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
No, he's not going to come as Vader Achi. That would be charming.
I showed my boyfriend, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at my friend Danny. And he laughed. He was like, that's clever. That's funny.
Hell yeah.
I actually think I got Danny some side work because of that costume.
I'm super stoked on that, too. So I'm hoping that works
out. I haven't
heard
anything more, but I will.
Is he going to be flipping a sign?
One of the stations in the cluster I work for is an all Santa station, and they do a big event on Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling the head sales guy about Danny's costume, and he loved it. And then I showed him the picture today because he drove by Comic-Con this weekend and immediately thought of me and talking about you.
Right.
So I showed him that. He came right in today. He's like, I've got to see the picture. Tell me you got a picture. I pulled it up, and he was like, I love it!
Yes! Yes!
I was like, he's got to come to... I was like, he's down for it. You just got to let me know when and where.
Yep, absolutely, dude. Anytime. And again, stuff like that, I dig the hell out of it. And it was a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, in making it, it was fun. And then wearing it all around Comic-Con, that was a fucking kick. I love that
shit. I've never cosplayed before. I would love to. We joked about cosplaying as our Radio Hour characters. So I would either be Stacy Triple X, who is the porn star detective.
Yes, and send pics.
Or the Hobbit Tangler, who is my superhero. So I was thinking of, like, Stacy Triple X would be like in a corseted teddy. But she would have, you know, the Sherlock Holmes cape and hat.
Nice.
And a shoulder holster glass, with a dildo. The handle is a dildo.
Yes.
And like, I'd bookmark the fuck out of that.
Can you stop describing it? Because he's getting all pawy and sweaty, and it's just getting really.
And then the Tom Nash Tangler is just in a purple cat suit with like a mask, and she's like, yeah, because no capes. So.
Fair enough. Well, if you do find that you can come in this way around Comic-Con, dude, set your stuff up. We'll fucking mob definitely. Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try to figure out my new outfit for next year that's supposed to top Vaderachi. And
I've got three ideas right now, and if I go with one, you have to go with...
Well, yeah, of course, you know, General Disarray.
Yeah.
Which is going to be easy peasy, but at the same time, I'm trying to think of new ideas, and it's like... Because Vaderachi was born out of a... I think my wife and I went to El Grito last year, and that's when it just kind of hit us. It's like, why is Star Wars and... Mexican culture never really married, and it's like Darth Vaderachi. My wife actually came up with it first, and I was like, fuck, that's yes. Awesome.
Yeah, and when you told me the idea, I had totally planned on doing a white version and going as a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
I had a line on a helmet, which was the only thing I would need, and then I would have to make the outfit, but that would have been...
Stormtrooper.
Would you have done a stormtrooper, or would you have done a First Order stormtrooper?
It would have been a stormtrooper.
Nice.
Because otherwise it wouldn't have fit with Vader.
Eh, well, you know, yeah.
It's a storm troubadour.
Troubadour. Fuck yes. See, that would be fun in and of itself.
Yeah.
See, if you guys do General Disarray and...
Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos, and if I do... we'll do one day, and then, like, I'll do Mysterion. I'll see if I can convince Ryan to go as the Coon.
Yes! Yes!
Coon and friends.
Fucking love it.
Hate me. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, but so bad. I will tell you what. We would rule Comic-Con.
Dude, we would own the shit out of it.
He's not Jeff up. He hates it.
Fucking love it.
But we got a whole year to figure it out, so...
Mm-hmm.
Until then, we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Sorry for all the Comic-Con talk, but it was awesome.
Yeah, we had to nerd the fuck out on you. Sorry.
And once again, to the guys from All Things Z, thank you so much for Spuzzy. I just love him.
And you guys are just awesome in general.
So we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.